Hey, Stevie.
Hey.
Hey. It's Mentally Chill. You know what I'm going to do from now on is do Mentally Chill.
Oh, I like that.
So it's more obvious that it's ill.
Mentally Chill.
Yeah. I think that's it from now on.
It's good.
Yeah.
It works.
That's the new thing. So someone wrote to me on Instagram the other day and they said, because I posted a picture of like, this is my book cover if I ever had one, which I won't because you were just saying you're lazy. I'm lazy. I'll never write a book.
I'm trying to, but we'll see what happens. It's funny, I was just talking about this to Dave.
Oh, really? About a book?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have a title for you and a title for me. So someone wrote to me and they were like, because my last name's Carney, they're like, it should be Melon Carney.
Oh!
Instead of melancholy.
Oh, I like that.
Which was really good. And then for you, you're Stevie Crying.
Yes.
Oh, you've heard that.
I've heard that because my middle name starts with a K and you put the K in front of Ryan. And so it's literally Stevie Crying.
Oh,
Stevie K. Ryan.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
It's so ugly. My first name is after my dad.
It's Kristen.
And my middle name is after my grandmother, who's Kathleen.
Oh.
So I'm Stevie Kathleen. Like, why would you throw a fucking girl name in the middle of two boy names?
Well, not even a girl name, like an old lady name.
Yeah, like an old lady like Kathleen. Kathleen.
I feel bad for people named Kathy.
They called my grandma, Kathy.
Yeah, but she's a grandma. She can be Kathy. Like, my grandmother is Rita. She can be Rita.
Yeah,
she was
Rita's
born in,
good.
Like, 1935.
Yeah. And yeah, that's like having
I'm on
a name
Instagram.
Like Bertha or Agatha.
Yeah.
Or something, like, just fucked.
What's weird is that one day our names are going to be old lady names. Well, yours will never be an old lady name. It'll be an old man name.
Yeah, it's an old man name.
Yeah. But it's weird. Like, someday it's going to be Grandma Kristen. If
yeah,
I ever make it that far.
Stop thinking that. Why would you even bring that up? That's so fucking depressing.
Isn't it so depressing? That's yeah. That's what I do. That's what we do.
I don't want to talk about being a grandma.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to be alone. Oh, this is a good segue for what I want to talk about. Being a grandma, I doubt I'll ever be a grandma because no one's ever going to knock me up.
Why?
Why would they?
Why
would
they?
And I don't have that much time left.
I'm older than you, so you can't say that shit.
Well,
because you're basically what you're saying is you don't have much time left.
No, you have probably more time than me. I'm just saying, like, my
Not
eggs
close.
Are probably bad. Like, my eggs are just going to go rotten earlier because I'm just a shitty person.
What do you mean? Like a karma thing?
No, just because, like, I'm not, trying to use them. So they're just going to fuck me. They're going to be like, fuck you, lady. Why are we staying in your body? Why are we staying healthy
yeah,
in
like,
here?
Peace
you don't
out.
Care about us.
Yeah, it's kind of like you show up to coffee with a friend and they never come. You're like, fuck you, I'm leaving.
Who knows if I can even get pregnant? Like, who knows if my
that's
eggs even work?
That's the thing. None of us really know until we try.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, boom, you can't have kids. Before, I never cared about having kids. And now I'm like, I just want to see what someone else would look like with my genes. Like, would they be as ugly as I think I am?
See, I get touched by the fact, like, I just had a friend that had a baby, and I want a baby because I want someone to love me, so another human being to love me so much that they want to procreate with me. Like,
right.
That's so touching. Like,
it is.
Oh my God, you want to make a baby with me?
It is. I never, ever, ever appreciated that until about, like, 6 months ago, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I get it. It's like the same with like before I said on the show, oh, I get why people do drugs because we're sad and life's terrible.
Yes.
Now I'm in the same thought process, but for babies, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like you can actually love someone that much.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you
to where you want to make a human being
together.
That you're going to raise together, whether you're together or not. You've agreed to raise
create this thing because you want. To love
each
or because you want each other that much or
like you love each other.
Other
that much that you're gonna make a fucking human being.
So are you saying you don't think you can love someone that much or someone
no
can't love
I don't
you
think
that
anyone
much.
Will ever love me that much. Same. Like I've never had anyone be like I want to have a baby with you. I've never had anyone say that to me. I've never had anyone want that much of me, and it would be really romantic if somebody did. I would be like, oh my God. Although I don't want to fucking destroy my body with a baby either.
It will get destroyed. A girl that I went to college with, gorgeous, adorable, pretty, whatever. I just thought she got married like a year ago, and now she's like 8 months pregnant. And the pictures from her getting married to her right now pregnant, I'm like, no wonder dudes cheat on wives.
Yeah.
And I feel bad saying that, but, like, it's so rough. She's, like, just swollen and, like, she looks, like, 30
Miserable.
Years older. She looks literally 30 years older. I'm, like, I cannot
Kids age
that's
you.
The
that's
person.
The one bad thing is that kids
well,
age you.
Well, she hasn't
you.
Even had it yet. She's just
Even being pregnant, imagine carrying around a giant fucking heavy fish basically in your stomach. Your stomach's a fishbowl with a giant heavy fish in it.
Yeah.
You know how stressful that is? And you have to drive and not get hit by other cars and like take care of this thing in your
When it comes
stomach.
Out, you just put it in the toilet like when a goldfish dies. I don't know. That's a weird fish
You just
thing.
Flush it.
Yeah.
Flush the baby down the toilet. This is a good segue into loneliness because I'll probably be by myself forever. No one's ever going to want to have a baby with me. And I'm going to end up like this lady on Hoarders that I saw the other day. She had a very hoarded up house. She has three children, though. She's a single mother. But she was convinced that the hoarding in her house was from demons. And she didn't have any friends. She had one friend that she called friend, and it was a cat skull that
what?
She would talk to.
No, I have to see this episode.
And she would be like, friend is here and friend needs some stuff. So she would go out and collect bones for the cat skull.
Where would she find bones?
Just like
from all the people she murdered and married.
Yeah,
and
in the backyard where all the animals that were dying, where she kept all the animals that were dying. She had like weird rat bones and stuff. And she had this little shrine for friend that she kept. But it was so weird. But at the same time, I understood it. I'm like,
I get you, sister.
I understand why you're talking to this cat skull.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to my dog.
She takes cat lady to, like, another level.
Whole new level.
Well, there was a Hoarders where the lady kept dead cats.
I saw that in the freezer. Saw that one.
And like, that was definitely a thing where she didn't want to lose or be alone. Like,
yes.
She was so afraid to be alone.
Yes. And I could.
That show is so dark, but, like,
it's so dark.
Because it's on TLC, it has, like, you don't feel how dark it is until after you think back on what you were just watching.
TLC has some dark ass shows.
Oh my God.
It used to be the Learning Channel. Now it's like,
I call it the Learning What Not to Do channel.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's Hoarders is very dark. It's very sad. But for some reason, I get it. Like I said, I understand this girl talking to this cat skull or this woman.
Wait, so why do you get it? What about that makes you get it?
Because I'm a very lonely person, and there have been times where I've isolated and been so alone. Not to the point to where I would talk to a dead animal skull, but I could see where if I kept going down that spiral, if I kept spiraling into that lonely world, where I would probably end up talking to a cat skull. Like I said, sometimes I'm by myself for so long that I say a word out loud just to know that
yes,
I can still talk.
Yes, you said that before. That's
so I'm
so
like,
funny.
Hello. Okay, I can still talk. It's working. Everything's normal.
Yeah. There was this story of this lady, this old lady, that a nutrition, like my nutrition teacher or something, and or professor in college taught, and she was, or talked about, and she said that this old lady she knew was, she was super lonely and nice. She had no one in her life, and she literally lived on red wine and pickles.
Oh,
that's the only thing
God.
She had eaten for like 20 years or something like that. And she was just like, you know, it was in nutrition class, so obviously, like, we're talking about not to do that. But, like, she did survive.
Don't eat pickles and wine only, or you'll be alone forever.
Yeah, and wrinkly. Very wrinkly.
I can't blame her, though. I love pickles, and I love wine.
I love pickle juice.
Oh, I drink pickle juice, too. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but it's so good.
Yeah. Well, the lonely thing, like, it drives you to do some crazy stuff, like hang out with other people.
I know.
That was a stupid
Or make friends,
mm-hmm.
which is weird.
In college, that's when I first started feeling depressed, and that was when I first started isolating myself. And it's a really bad spiral because it's this weird thing where you're lonely and you don't want to be lonely, but the more lonely you get, the more you – it's almost like you're wearing a – to put yourself out there with other people, it's harder and harder and harder.
Yes.
And it's almost like hiding inside of a blanket. It's like a blanket that's stinky and smelly and you don't actually want to be in it, but it's all that you know and you want
to
stay warm.
And it's keeping you warm, right. And you're terrified to get cold.
Right. And so for me, I basically I isolated myself literally from the age of 19 in college until probably last summer.
Same.
So, I mean, it's been a long run of isolation and I'm now, I mean, I have people in my life, but people will be like, who are your and I've never had like a close friend group. I have like a friend here and a friend there, but because I've isolated myself so much, I've ended up very, very lonely. And part of the reason I think a lot of people get into relationships is just not to be lonely. It's not for the right reasons.
Exactly. That's why I want to be in a relationship.
Me too. Oh my God. Like people are like, why are you so into this into dating right now or into this guy? And I'm like, because I'm so lonely.
I'm so, so sick of being lonely. And that's something that I feel like why I get my heart broken so easily, or like why heartbreak hurts me so much is because I am so lonely, and I'm constantly like, I want that companionship so much. And I, you know, coming out of a 4-year relationship, you have that. And so it's something that you grow accustomed to. And like, you can still be lonely in a relationship.
Oh, totally.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I was in my last relationship towards the end. That's why it fell apart, because I was so lonely. But I just lost my train of thought. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Your boyfriend, or in a relationship.
Oh, for me, I realized I started being lonely when I moved out of my parents' house and I wasn't around my brothers anymore or my family, and I was living alone, and it was like...
Did you go to college?
Whoa. No.
Okay. So did you move straight from there to here?
I did.
Okay.
Well, I moved to Orange County first because I had a brother in Orange County, and so I just felt safer. Like, my parents thought, you're going to move to Los Angeles and get raped and murdered. And
you were like, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I was like, please. So I moved to Orange County first because they don't rape people in Orange County, apparently. And so I would just drive out here to auditions.
They
and then
rape
eventually,
you emotionally in Orange County. I
yeah.
feel like.
And then they rape you emotionally and mentally and physically in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Whole
shebang.
So then I ended up moving out here finally because the commuting was just getting ridiculous. I would sit for like 5 hours in traffic.
That's yeah.
And it was just really bad. So then I ended up out here. But I wish I would have gone to college. That's something that bothers me.
You would have hated college.
I would have hated it. I probably would have sucked at it. But it's something that is part of why I have low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Los Angeles is educated. Everyone has a great education. Half of the people here have gone to like Ivy League schools. Everyone has a fucking degree in something, and I'm just an idiot.
Just be glad that you didn't go to community college.
I actually went to community college for a summer.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I did.
I have this thing where I'm so fixated on community college and how hilarious I think it is.
Community college tour is what you should do.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny idea.
Yeah.
But I like do jokes about community college before the show Community ever even like was relatively part of our society. But the lonely thing, though, I feel like you would have been lonely at college. And I know what you're saying now, because I have a 4-year degree from like a super mediocre school, and I feel intimidated by people.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. Because like I went to a state school. I majored in communications, which is like that's what like the dumb kids do. And I'll meet people here who went to Georgetown and
yeah, there's like
Harvard even.
I was going to just say there's like a real tight Harvard circle here. Community. I mean, comedy Harvard circle.
There is. And that's what's crazy.
And you can't be a part of it unless you've gone to Harvard.
No, I know. There's the Ivy League comics. And I realized that because I thought when I started doing comedy that I was going to be around people who were just like regular Joes.
No.
And they weren't. They were like these basically
super rich.
Because they're rich and they don't need to have a career. They can do whatever they want. So they can be financed to just start doing stand up or improv and then be an elite person in comedy. It's weird.
I'm not impressed with them, though, because half of them, it takes them a really long time to get shit off the ground. And I'm like, you know what? If I went to Harvard and my parents were fucking loaded, I would have been doing badass shit from the get go. Like, I wouldn't be waiting around for my life to start, like half of them. So, so that's all I have to say.
Yeah. So are you feeling particularly lonely today?
I just feel particularly lonely every day. I'm just a lonely ass bitch. I'm a lonely ass person. And like I said, it goes back to moving out of my parents' house.
Do you have
house.
A lot of friends?
You know what? I have, kind of like you said, I actually had this really close group of friends that I still have, but we've been friends for like 12 years now, and they're all a little bit older than me, and all of them have, they're all married off now, and all of them are like on their second kids. So this is the group of friends that like I feel super out of place with now, because I go and I see them, and I think I've talked about this before, where they're like, when are you going to get married? When are you having a baby? Like, what's going
on? You didn't go to college.
Yeah. Well, luckily
they didn't either. Yeah.
That's
why they have babies.
That's why they're my crew. But it's like they've started their lives, and then I have little friends like sprinkled around that I'm really close with, but it's not a big group of people.
Yeah.
But I do have close friends, but it's still I'm just a lonely person. Like, I want intimacy.
Yeah.
It's not even just about friendships. It's
well,
about being intimate.
Right. For me, for the longest time, I was like embarrassed being intimate. And so I would keep a wall up with everybody, even if I had like a close friend. We were never close.
Right.
But I used to listen to that Beatles song, All the Lonely People.
Yeah.
Like I would listen to that and feel so like relate. Like I'm them. I am that lonely person.
Yeah.
And it's like, where do they come from? Where are their friends? Where's their family? And I was like, well, I can answer the question. They're there. They're around, but you're lonely. It doesn't.
Yeah, you can be around a ton of people and you're still lonely.
Super lonely.
That's how I feel all the time. Like if I'm around people, I still feel lonely inside. Or it's like, I know I'm going to go home and be by myself tonight. And that's.
Is there anything that you do to like quell the loneliness?
Watch reality TV.
Really?
Literally. Like I will watch reality TV and it makes me feel better.
I'm like, it makes you feel like you're part of their circle.
It makes me feel like I'm a part of drama without having real drama in my life, which is nice.
Yeah.
But loneliness is actually really bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
I did a lot of research and we produce more stress hormones when we're lonely. Like we send weird signals out to our body and we age ourselves. And
ew, that's why I'm getting wrinkles already.
And we're less likely to survive a serious operation and more likely to have hormonal imbalances.
Wow.
We're at greater risk for inflammation. Our memory is worse.
Wow.
And you're more likely to be depressed, sleep badly, and suffer dementia. If you're a lonely person.
It is so weird how, like, as a species, things are so programmed. Like, we are programmed to want to be in a community or, like, a tribe or whatever. And when you don't have that, how your physical body reacts. It's just so crazy how your brain is so connected to the rest of your body.
So connected. And we're so connected to each other. We need each other. But then.
But we hate each other at the same time.
But we can't stand each other. Yeah.
Like, I will say I'm a misanthrope.
Yeah.
I hate people.
Me too.
But I need people.
Me
and
too.
That's what I liked, what I like about doing stand-up is you're with people but you're not with people.
Right.
It's like, look at me, I'm on stage. Same with the podcast.
Yeah.
It's like we're talking to people but we're not really talking to people.
You're connecting to people without having to connect.
Exactly.
Which is just like Facebook and all of these other social media and platforms. Like we're more connected than we've ever been in history, but we're more disconnected than we've ever been in history as well, because
I feel like that works for me and maybe works for you, because it's like, in a way, I don't want to really connect. It's like,
right.
I want the attention and the feedback,
yes,
and to be part of something, but I don't want to actually have the responsibility,
right,
to really like be with people,
to have to be a good friend or a good person, or like to have to be with people. I understand that.
There was a meme the other day that I saw that was like, it just said it perfectly. It was funny, but it was like, you know, whatever picture of some chick. And it was like, me when plans are canceled. It basically was saying, as you know, plans being canceled joke. But she basically was saying, my extroverted self was present when we made them, but now my introverted self doesn't want to do them. And that's how I feel all the time.
Yeah, me too. I'll make plans and then I fucking regret it. I'm like, why?
Right. But it's like, to me, it's that blanket. It's like I'm in my blanket of like loneliness. And then all of a sudden I have to exit that. And it's so difficult. For me, like I've said before, like I'm just drinking more to socialize and to not be lonely.
Right.
It's like a good way to ignore the loneliness, but then it's also a way to get yourself loosened up enough that you can actually interact with people.
Yes.
You know?
That's something that I struggle with, where when I have to go out and be social, I'm like, I need to be drinking or doing something so that I can get out of my head.
Right.
Because otherwise, I'm just like, I want to go back home. I want to go back home to my safe space. I want my safe space.
Well, another thing that I think I do, I mean, today it was really late and I feel like an asshole, but that was not intentional at all. But a lot of the times I'll go somewhere late because I want to spend as little time there as possible.
Oh, interesting.
But someone made a point the other day. They were like, well, I go early so that I can drink more before people get there, so that by the time people get there, I can actually enjoy the experience.
Interesting.
So I go early.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I should try that. That's like the reverse way of being an asshole.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it the other way. So my friend Jen is going to call, or we're going to call Jen, because we're also going to talk about napping and sleeping.
Yeah, this is really weird because I actually took a nap yesterday and I'm not a napper at all, but I took a nap yesterday and I've been napping because I've been really sick.
Okay, so this is good timing, but I wanted to make the joke that I was like, we're calling Jen because we're talking about sleeping and Jen is really boring and we're all just going to pass out now.
Oh, sounds like a plan.
Thanks for inducing sleep, Jen. So she's going to call because she always tells me, she'll be like, do not nap. And I nap all the time.
Do you really?
All the time. I barely go a day without napping.
Oh, wow. I have another friend that has to nap where she gets really grumpy.
Yeah. But Jen gets mad at me because I nap for like 2+ hours.
Oh, wow.
A good nap is 15 to 30 minutes. Otherwise, your brain goes into like deep sleep mode and then you get all screwed up.
Right. It like throws your clock off, your internal clock.
Yeah. So I just want to talk to Jen about the napping because she's super anti-napping. So we're going to get her on the phone. So
let's do it.
Hang tight. Hey, Jen.
Hey. Hey. How's it going?
Hey. It's terrible, of course.
We're not doing well.
We're bad.
I wouldn't expect anything else, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay, good. So Jen has professed she's my biggest critic. She didn't like one of our shows recently, kind of.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's all right. We deserve
honest.
It.
I got a message the other day from some asshole named Phil.
Asshole's named Phil.
He let me know that we're not doctors and that we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't. Well, we actually don't.
You say that. In your defense, you say that all the time and... Phil's a jerk, man.
Thank you.
Jerk because I'm in school.
Right, yeah. Like when we put a disclaimer out there, you can't like call us on the non-disclaimer. Or
right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, we've already said, and obviously, like just hearing our voices, you know, we're clearly not doctors. We don't even have to put a disclaimer out there. It's so obvious.
Well, and Phil was like, "I'm sure that there's educated people that'd be willing to help you guys," and it's like, maybe we don't want their help. We don't like people.
Yeah, this is the dumb depressed show. But that's why we have Jen on. So Jen and I know each other really well. We've known each other since we were like. I was like 13 and she was like 12 and she was an asshole to me the first time we met.
Oh.
I don't remember
yes,
that.
Yes, you and Jess will check.
Oh, well, I let other people kind of affect my behavior. I can admit that. I'm sorry.
But you guys loved me.
Peer pressure.
You guys loved me, but it was like right the first workshop. Anyway, love Jen. But we're talking about we haven't even really got into it yet, but like napping and everything. And I sleep tons. Stevie doesn't sleep as much but has been napping a little bit more. And you tell me I shouldn't nap. Why should I not nap?
Yeah. So I've been giving you a hard time about this recently because I just know, like, I don't have any evidence backed by research about why napping is horrible for you. Although I did read that people who don't nap tend to live longer than people who do.
Well, that's why I nap because it's like a slow suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start napping.
It was purposeful. Yeah. But I do have, like, anecdotal evidence based on myself. And based on what I see of people around me, like my loved ones and friends, I mean, it just, you know those naps where you fall asleep when it's daylight and you wake up when it's like darkness?
Yeah, and you're like, where am I? What's happening?
I did that yesterday.
That is like my worst nightmare. Like I try to avoid that at all costs. Yeah. That's when I start thinking about things like my parents getting older and like how I wish I was 6 because things are so much easier. And right. I don't want to go there, so I avoid it at all costs. So I feel it's like a trickle thing. I feel like it can continue throughout the rest of your week, you know?
Right. Well, I had this experience in college once where I took a nap and it was like I went to sleep during the afternoon, woke up, it was like pitch black out, and I genuinely for a good 35, 40 seconds had no idea where I was. Because I was
scary.
It is scary. I was like, I was at college, which in my brain, like I'd probably been there for 3 months, but like wasn't really registered that I didn't live home anymore. I was 18. And it was genuinely one of the scariest moments when I actually realized I was away from home.
Right.
It was almost like, whoa, wait, where am I? How did I get here? And how long have I been here? And why? Why am I away from my parents? And
Yesterday I fell asleep. I took a nap yesterday, which is weird because I don't nap often. But I did fall asleep yesterday and I kept waking up. Stressing because in the mornings I have my TMS therapy treatment things and I have to be there by 8 a.m. And it's like a half hour drive. So I'm out of the house by 7:30. It's your worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. But I kept waking up and thinking that I had fallen asleep on the couch and that it was morning and that I was going to be late to my appointment. And so I kept waking up and then thinking that I was going to be late here. And I kept waking up like, oh, my God, fuck, what day is it? What time is it? And just not knowing what day or what time it was. And it was like 3:00 in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
I was just going to say that, like not knowing the time is so anxiety provoking for me. Like I'm very rigid with my time. So I think that is what causes me to feel that awful feeling I feel. And I try to avoid napping, and I haven't napped in a while, and I feel like in my life I'm much happier since I stopped napping.
So do you think, like, people with depression, I know for me, I nap to, like, avoid bad feelings. Mm. It's like, I'll go to sleep because I can't handle the way I'm feeling and I need to just check out
for a little bit. Discovered that because I suffer from insomnia. Most of my life I've suffered from insomnia, and so sleeping is not something that comes easy to me. But for some reason in the past few months, I've been sleeping better, and I realized that the more sleep you get, the less life you have to deal with.
Exactly. And so that's why I've always napped. That's literally been my scheme in life.
That works.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
People are like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'm like, well, I'm sleeping when I'm alive because I want to be dead.
Yeah.
That's the way.
It's a good feeling to sleep.
But do you think someone should, like, how do you think someone with depression should not, like, what do they do instead to deal with stuff?
Well, that's what's tough, because I was thinking about people in my life who I know who nap a lot, and those are the people in my life that I know are the most miserable. So whether it's the people nap because they're depressed or depressed because they nap, it's kind of like drinking.
Right.
Like, you don't know what causes what.
Right.
And my advice, I guess, is just to try it for a week, avoiding the nap. Baby steps, kind of. Every time you feel like you're tired and you need to nap, push through and just try to go to bed earlier.
Oh my God, it's so hard.
I wake up really early, and
Me too.
You hate waking up early. I used to not like waking up early, but now I love it. Like, I love that time of day when no one else is awake. I feel like I'm ahead of the game.
Jen's just got everything together. She's married. She has a house. They're looking to buy another house. They have a dog.
Damn. Are you going to have a baby soon? We were just talking about babies.
I know. It's weird. She doesn't. Have you not done the baby talk thing yet?
No.
It's. Are you doing it? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No. I mean, in the next couple of years, I finally have this job where it's actually going to work out. Like, my schedule will be awesome to have a family. So I do want to have a family, but I don't have it all together. Like, I don't want you to think
Well,
that.
That's true.
Like,
I've seen your snaps.
What's that?
That's true. I've seen your snaps that you send to me.
Oh.
You're a wreck also.
Very funny. Yeah, my social media is really poor, lacking. But I did get rid of Facebook to make my life happier, and that has worked.
And right, I miss you on there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I miss everyone's comments about how great their lives are, and they're really not. I know they're not.
Yeah, all their pictures about their perfect world and how happy they are and how much fun they're having.
What do you call it? False book?
False book.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, you've been an amazing guest. Never call back.
This has been great, because I do feel, Stevie, I do feel like I know you. And
you
I
do
hope
know
when
me.
They meet you, I need to get out there.
Yeah, but, come out here.
Thanks
come
for having me.
Come be on the show in person.
Well, you're our consultant. And so for people who know, like, are you like almost done getting your PhD in psychology, or what's the deal?
Yeah, so I've been doing it part-time. So I work and go part-time, which kind of sucks, but it's what I have to do. So really what I have left is to teach. I have to teach a college course, do some more research, and then work on my dissertation. So it does sound like a lot, but I'm all done with coursework. So
hate you.
I know. You so.
She got her shit together.
You got your shit together. Get out of here.
Well, thanks, guys. And continue doing what you're doing. And the only reason why I complained about that one show is because it was because I wanted more. So that's a good complaint.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's
trying
what
to get
he
brownie
said.
Points.
Where? Keep doing what you're doing. I think it's fun. I love listening to it. I listen. You guys get me through my runs in the morning.
Yay.
In the early morning.
Oh, see, she runs in the morning.
Damn.
This asshole.
I know. You're just superwoman over here.
All right, Jen.
Well, you're pushing me through. So you guys are superwomen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Spanx. Mm-hmm. All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you going to give up napping to try it out?
That's the thing, is things are hard work, and if it's hard work, I won't do it.
Yeah.
If it's hard work, like my therapist, she was saying all of this is hard work, because I said, I don't think, not that I was insulting her as a therapist, but I'm like, I come here and I just know, I walk in here and I in my mind, I'm saying, this isn't going to help me.
Right.
I'm going to do it, but I know it's not going to help me.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, because you also have to do the work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't like work.
Work sucks.
It's the worst.
Working on yourself is what sucks the worst. It's just so much time and effort, and it takes for it's a constant thing that you're doing. Like, you're constantly working on yourself,
right?
It's just,
and you don't
tiring.
See like it's like if you don't see the progress.
Yeah, no,
you will eventually if you wait a year, and all of a sudden it's the way it's like if someone loses a lot of weight and you haven't seen them over a year, you see it like crazy
right away.
But if you're seeing them every single day, you're not going to notice it as much.
Right.
So that's how I feel in therapy. It's like I'm there, I'm doing it, and I don't see any big. I want like a big change instantly. And it just doesn't happen that way.
It's interesting because you sleep a lot, and you can easily get to sleep, I'm guessing, because you can take naps and like you.
I can sleep like just I could fall asleep right now.
When I was looking up stuff about this, 80% of depressed people have problems with their sleep, but 3/4 of them suffer from insomnia.
It's crazy to me how many can't sleep.
Yeah. What I guess the problem is that they can sleep once they're asleep. It's about getting to sleep. It's about stopping those thoughts that
right,
keep you
anxiety.
Awake.
Right, the anxiety. Yeah.
And that's the problem that most depressed people have is just getting to sleep.
I think I'm so checked out in my mind or something that I have anxiety, but when I lay down, generally I don't. Generally, I am so interested in just checking out of being awake
right.
that I will just pass right out. And then yesterday, actually, I wanted to mention this. I couldn't sleep 2 nights ago, and so I was up for like 4 hours, and then all I did yesterday, I just could not get out of bed. I literally stayed in bed the entire day. I was
really?
Like, I just can't do this today. Like, I can't exist in the world today.
I can't function.
Yeah. I got up for like 20 minutes to get something to eat, and that was it. But yesterday was a hard day.
That was me all last week, but I was really sick. So I was just sleeping and eating or trying to eat and sleeping and eating and sleeping.
Yeah.
But it made me feel like I missed out on life and that I was just like wasting my life away.
Totally. Okay. So I found this article that mentioned some people that are self-proclaimed nappers who are really infamous or, you know, noteworthy. So some people that napped a lot were Albert Einstein.
Oh.
Leonardo da Vinci, Thomas Edison, Winston Churchill, John D. Rockefeller. I have to put the D in there. Eleanor Roosevelt, Gene Autry, Nikola Tesla, the Tesla dude, Bill Clinton, John F. Kennedy, Napoleon, Salvador Dali, and this one is so random to like end the list, Sylvester Stallone.
Wow. Mostly men.
Yes.
Men can sleep better than women.
Wow.
That was another thing that I
didn't even notice that. It's all dudes.
When
there wasn't one woman on there.
When I was doing research.
Except Sylvester Stallone, that's a woman.
Yeah. When I was doing research, that's what it said. It said that women have more sleeping issues than men do. I feel like men can turn off their internal dialogue better than women can.
Yeah.
Like they just fall asleep.
Yep. Weird.
I'm not like that. I wish I was.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of testosterone. That's probably why I can nap because I'm kind of hairy.
I'm very hairy.
I'm more like a dude.
Hey, I got European genes, and so I'm hairy as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm not napping well. I'm not sleeping well. Well, sometimes depends, but. Not like you.
Yeah. Drink that muscle milk. You'll turn into a dude and then fall asleep.
Do you drink muscle milk?
No, I always see it and I'm like, what is
that?
Yeah,
it just looks
gross.
Ugh. Muscle milk.
Yeah.
Why even call it that?
And like, can we like, you know what they should do with muscle milk? They should sell a label that goes along with muscle milk where it covers up where it says muscle milk so you don't look like a douchebag.
Yeah.
So it's like you get like. Like a label cover to not be a D-bag.
So it's like a sleeve cover like
yes.
they have at Starbucks.
Yeah, they should have like an option right next to it in the store where you can also grab a sleeve for it.
I want to know who's drinking muscle milk. If you're drinking muscle milk, can you just tweet at us and let us know why?
Yeah, and I feel like it would make me very like gassy or something. It just seems thick.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know.
I just imagine a really like buff guy, like a bodybuilder, like milking his titty.
Ew.
And there's muscle milk.
You know,
like
funny?
That's what I think
if he
of.
Was milking like the men that were like he was training that are smaller than him.
Ew.
And they were like suckling on his on his nipple. Ew. To get his
so sick.
Oh, that's gross.
Do you have a depression impression for this week?
I have stuff. I don't have a depression impression, but I have stuff. The last thing I wanted to say about napping is that like it does, science recommends a 15 to 30 minute nap during the day. It won't screw up your sleep cycle. You don't go into like past sleep two past sleep two. So you can do sleep one and sleep two, whatever those stages are.
Yeah. Those are the lighter stages.
Yeah.
There's 4 stages.
You don't want to get into the deep nap. That's when
right.
you feel all screwed up and weird. But for me, it just resets my brain. Even if I sleep for like 2 hours, I think I like get screwed up, but I don't, because I feel like my brain just gets reset in a way. Like I have a new day. It's like a
right.
new day or something. Anyway, so yeah, so I have stuff. I have an FDAT shit. I have who's sadder.
Oh, I forgot to tweet the who's sadder because I want to get people's reactions and see what everyone listening thinks who is sadder. So what I want to start doing is putting a poll on Twitter.
Before we tape?
Yeah,
okay.
And then reading the results.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So
it's a really good idea.
We'll start doing that, you guys. So go and vote for who is sadder.
Yeah.
Someone gave a really good who is sadder.
Oh, I saw it.
The other day.
Yeah, it was
Katy Perry or
Taylor Swift.
Who do you think sadder?
Okay, here's the deal. I have to admit, I know nothing about Taylor Swift. She does not interest me. Her music doesn't catch me. To me, she doesn't have any charisma at all. I'm not interested in her.
Right.
For some reason.
Interesting.
I know that she writes songs about dudes that don't love her back or something.
Yeah.
And I saw on the tweet, he said two like beautiful rich women that like can't keep a guy.
Yeah.
I would just say, because I know more about Katy Perry, I would say Katy Perry.
Right.
But I could totally be wrong. I would just say her because she's from a super religious family and now she's like acting like I feel like she would still have that weight on her of being from this religious family.
Right.
I literally know so little about both of them, actually.
I know so little about both of them as well. I don't listen to their music. I'm not like either of their fans. I could care less.
Yeah.
But, or I couldn't care less.
I guess Taylor Swift gets picked on more.
I was going to say Taylor Swift gets picked on. I actually feel bad for her because a lot of people go for her and I'm like, dude, she's just this dorky little white girl writing stupid songs about
like
boys.
Kanye like went after
her,
right?
Kanye and Kim went after her and like, it's just really petty and stupid. And I'm like, she's literally just like the most vanilla.
That's like picking on like a baby versus like the big dude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then like, Katy Perry and Nicki Minaj just came out with the song Swish Swish, and it's supposed to be all about Taylor Swift.
Oh, wait. So Katy Perry's enemies somewhat with Taylor Swift?
Yes. They hate each other.
Oh, okay. I feel like I heard that. Okay.
So, and it's a really terrible song. Not like terrible, like hurtful. It's just
like
shitty
a
shitty pop
song. Yeah.
But I would say Katy Perry's sadder just because she's older than Taylor Swift, and she has had a lot of trouble with men, and I just feel like it gets more depressing as you get older.
Why did her and Russell Brand divorce?
Who knows?
I mean, they look like they could be siblings. They should just become brother and sister.
They do look like they could be related.
Don't they?
Yeah.
They both have like round eyes and like a long face, dark hair.
Yeah, now that you say it, I can see that.
Yeah.
Who's your who's sadder?
So my who's sadder today was Carrot Top or Andy Dick.
Oh,
is that a good one?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm definitely saying hands down Carrot Top.
Me too. Same.
Okay. So years ago, I saw Carrot Top in Chicago and we were at the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, it was super random. He was at the bar with a dude. So he's like, I don't know if he's full out gay, but I'm pretty sure he's like bisexual or closeted gay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. He was at the bar with a dude, definitely together, like flirty, touchy, all that kind of stuff. He had on like his eyeliner because he always wears his eyeliner.
Yes, he always wears that black eyeliner.
But
it's not even brown. It's black.
It's black. Like go brown because you have that orange look. It's
and you got fair skin. Just go brown so it's not as harsh.
Warm tones. But his like eyeliner was so smudged. Like, I don't know if he was crying.
Do you think he was going for a smoky eye maybe?
It looked maybe like a really messy smoky eye.
Okay.
Like you couldn't tell if it was an intentional smoky eye or an actual, he smoked too many cigarettes and now has smoky eye. But he looked so sad and with that smudged, and it was like his upper body is so ripped.
Crazy looking.
Crazy, crazy, crazy ripped. But his bottom half was literally like pencil legs. And he just looked so uncomfortable in his own skin.
He looks very uncomfortable. He's also had a few facelifts
and
something.
Yes, his facelifts are terrible.
Where it's like, you know you're miserable if you're fucking with your face like that as a man especially.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't have kids, so you probably didn't have any wrinkles or anything.
Right,
you're a man,
like,
so you age differently. Why are you doing all this crazy?
It's like running away from who you really are.
Yeah, like hiding.
Like your face is actually like running.
He's like
in
hoarding
motion.
Surgeries on his face. He's like a face surgery hoarder.
Yes. And he'll have like a cat skull soon.
Yeah, he actually looks like a cat skull.
He does look like a cat skull.
Yeah.
Friend.
He's freaking friend.
He's friend too.
He's friend number two.
Yeah. And then Andy Dick. So I've met Andy Dick a bunch of times. I actually have his phone number in my phone. We've hung out a few times.
Okay, I've met Andy
Dick
before
about.
As well. But in like weird circumstances.
Okay, tell me the circumstances.
Not weird circumstances, but like one time I was on a red carpet and he just ran up and jumped on my back. Like I'd never met him before. Don't know him. Just ran up and jumped on my back like for a piggyback ride. And I'm
like, there's a dick on my back.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, there's a dick on me. But he was nice, but just a little wasted, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. You know what's so weird is I genuinely can't remember how I met him. And I think I have, I really think I'm having memory problems because I met him like a year and a half
ago. We're lonely, so we have memory problems.
Really?
It
no,
says it.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I genuinely am having this really weird time with my memory right now. Like, what were you just talking about? Like, that's how much, I mean, I know what we were talking about, but that's how badly, it, or how bad it's getting. But,
sounds like a stoner. You sound like me.
Yeah. But I think he hangs out at a certain place in Santa Monica all the time, a certain diner. And I didn't meet him there. I saw him there. I ended up meeting him somehow afterward. I cannot remember how. But then I've hung out with him now at that spot a few times. And, like, he's I definitely would say he's kind of sad because he talks a lot about, like, the past. Like, he would talk about, like, he was supposed to be – he created, like, the Zoolander character that Will Ferrell plays. Like, that was his character.
No, Ben Stiller. Zoolander's Ben Stiller.
No, the character that Will Ferrell plays in Zoolander.
Oh, okay.
That was Andy Dick. He created that with Ben Stiller. And then, like, basically isn't part of it. And so he was, like, kind of going on about.
So he's a little bitter, maybe?
Very bitter. And, like, when the Zoolander 2 came out, like a year ago, the billboards everywhere. And he's, like, and I just see those billboards. And I'm just, like, oh, you know. But I'm going to the premiere. Like, it's, like, he's kind of hanging on a little bit, but, like, bitter. But at the same time, he had or has, I don't know if they're still together, he had a girlfriend. She's really pretty. He's, like, going out and doing comedy. And I just feel like Carrot Top kind of lives in, like, a cave.
Was he dating that girl Jennifer?
I can't remember.
Andy Dick? She's, like, a Mexican girl?
No. This girl's, like, super white.
Okay.
And very young.
Okay.
I was, like...
Strange.
Yeah.
Because he's also bisexual.
He's bisexual.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's been basically living in a...
Trailer, or, like, a... Motorhome.
For rehab.
Oh, yeah. Halfway house.
Basically.
Yeah.
He's been living... Well, not even a halfway house.
Like
he's actually been at
sober home.
He's been in a sober living facility.
I don't know
if he's still there. But, like, I feel like he's trying and, like, whatever. But it just seems like Carrot Top is just so, like, far not part of our society anymore. He's, like, so far out in his own zone.
Definitely. I totally agree. I feel like Carrot Top is, I don't know. There's just some shit going on with Carrot Top between them working out and the surgeries. There's a lot going on internally. He's got sadder eyes. He's got those crazy fucking cat surgery eyes. And so I definitely think that he's hiding from himself or like trying to get away from himself by working out and getting all these surgeries.
Totes.
Whereas Andy Dick, at least he's Andy Dick and he stays true to Andy Dick.
And he's just a whack nut and he's like, cool with it.
Yeah.
And he'll always
How
cool
old is he now?
He's older. I think he's like 55 or something.
Okay. What about Carrot Top?
His kids are very attractive, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah. I have no idea how old Carrot Top is.
He's got to be around the same age.
Probably. I wish I could. My computer never works in here. Nor does my phone. But do you have F dat shit or anything?
You know what? I had a really good F dat shit, and I don't know where it is now. I had it pulled up, and now I don't know where it has gone. I know. But it was a great story about, because we were talking about loneliness, and it was about an actress, and I can't remember her name now, but basically it took people a year to find her dead body. She was just in her apartment, and they found her because a neighbor noticed that she hadn't seen her in a really long time, and that... everyone noticed a strange smell coming from her apartment, but no one investigated it. And so she went and decided that she was going to go and check on her neighbor. And she broke in and she found the woman mummified next to a heater on her computer. And that it was just the computer screen still like flashing. That was all that was like lighting up the place.
Wait, how long was she?
She was dead for a year, they think.
How did the computer last that long?
That's what I was saying. And her heater was on. I'm like, her bills were paid.
Yeah.
So did she have it automatic, like her automatic bill payments going through? She still had
Probably.
Money in the bank.
Well, bitch was doing well then.
Yeah. And she was on her computer. It had to have been plugged in and the electricity was still going. So.
Wow.
I don't know. But it took people a year. And I'm like, that might be me. That could very well be me. The only person that really checks on me is my mom. So when my mom is no longer alive, I don't know who the fuck's going to care about me.
Well, I actually did check on you when you weren't feeling well.
You did.
Yeah.
You did
and
check on me.
You were making me nervous because you're always on social media and like you respond quick to texts and you didn't. And I genuinely was like, I hope she's okay. Because
I was
passed out.
Really sick.
Or like, yeah, you had fainted.
Yes, I fainted out in public. It was very scary.
That does sound horrifying. In a way, it sounds very like Hollywood actress dramatic. Like, oh.
It was so embarrassing. Really, it was so fucking embarrassing. I wanted to die because everyone thought I was dead around me. They're like, call 911. She's having a seizure. She fainted. She's
Someone
dead.
Take that necklace. Grab her ring.
Yeah, and so I woke up and I was like, did I just die? Like, did I die? I felt I had died. I was like, no, please let me be dead. Please let me be. No, I'm here. I'm alive. I was all sweaty. It was very, very scary. And
what did it feel like leading into the fainting? Because I knew like I was going to faint, but I never faint.
Okay. I've fainted a lot. I have a history of fainting. But during certain times, like when I got my belly button pierced, I fainted. I went and illegally got my tongue pierced when I was 15 and I fainted.
Of course you did.
I choked on a French fry one time and fainted. One time I went like an old person's home and I fainted because it was just like
they were too old.
They were too old. The energy was so stagnant and stanky that I just fucking passed
out.
That
is hilarious.
So I have a history of fainting, but basically I was at the nail shop and I was getting my nails done. And
so you were sitting.
I was sitting, but like sitting in a higher chair. Uh-huh. And I had a hat on, luckily, and I just got real. I thought I was having a panic attack at first. Uh-huh. I was like, whoa. And I looked at my nail tech and I said, I think I'm having a panic attack. And then I was like, oh no, I'm gonna faint. I was like, I'm getting really lightheaded. I'm gonna faint any minute. And then the next thing I know is I woke up because I like slid sideways and fell out of the chair, hit my head, but I didn't hit it hard enough to bust my head open. And like I said, I had a hat on, so there was padding and I had braids in, so I had a little bit of padding. But I woke up from like hitting the ground and people like shaking me. I woke up to all these girls like, ah! Like in my face, like screaming. And like, it was so scary.
I would have just been like, how are my nails?
Look at how terrible my nails are. After that, so
you didn't go through with the nails, obviously.
I couldn't because she was terrified to like get me back in the chair. So I just laid there and ate a bunch of suckers and then had someone come and pick me up.
Oh my God.
But it was so fucking scary, and I was convinced at first that it was from my TMS treatment because that's what we were talking about. I was talking to my nail tech about it. She was like, how's it going? And I was telling her, oh, it feels so weird. It's like someone's shooting
is
lightning.
A white chick doing your nails?
She is. Okay. Well, she's Indian, but she's basically white. Okay. She talks like a white person.
Okay. Because I feel like it'd be hard to have a conversation with my nail people.
Yeah, my nail tech's like young and dope and cool.
Okay.
We were talking about TMS, and then I fucking got so lightheaded and fainted, and then I was like, it's from TMS. But then I talked to my doctor and he was like, no way, like you have low blood pressure, you aren't feeling well, like
you fainted in the past,
you have a history of fainting, like you're sick right now.
Yeah.
But it was really scary. And you're right, you did check on me. A lot of people were checking on me. I was just so sick for a few days. I couldn't,
But I was checking because I'm like, I will come raid that apartment if she's dead because you have so much cute stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you can have.
Fingers crossed for your death.
You can have all of my shit. I'm just saying it out there right now.
Okay.
Kristen has first dibs on furniture.
Cool. Thank you. And I actually want to put this out there that if I die, like now, just I want everyone to know on my headstone, I want a quote from Seinfeld on there from the show.
Okay.
It's, the sea was angry that day, my friends. I don't know if my friend's in it, but the sea was angry that day, like an old man trying to send back soup at a deli. Just for the record, I was thinking about that because, like, I've never told anyone. I genuinely want that on my tombstone. So this is a record of it.
I don't want a tombstone. I think I just want to be cremated. But I do want you guys.
You still get a headstone, though, if you're cremated.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, like, my grandpa has a headstone and he's cremated. So he's not actually there, but, like, his name is on it.
Right. So it's just like a memorial to him, basically.
Yeah.
I do want you guys to play Spice Girls Goodbye, My Friend at my, like, funeral party, because I want you guys to celebrate my life and just party it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to be fucking sad about me because I'll be so stoked to die.
Yeah. They can all be happy Spice.
That's the one thing. If I do die tragically, just know that I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm murdered.
Yeah.
Just know that, like, at the end, all be all, I was stoked to die.
Well, I'm such a bullshit artist because I'll be like, I want to die. And then if I'm, like, close to getting into a car accident, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to die.
Me too. Me too. I'm like, that was really scary, you guys.
We're just pussies.
We are. We're
big talkers.
That's something, actually, that I have to do for my TMS treatment. They have me fill out this questionnaire thing. Like, what level are you on? Like, 1 through 5 of, like, your sadness and this. And one of the things is, like, do you want to die but not actually die?
Yes. And that's such a good question. That's such a good question. Because usually it'll be like, do you want to die? And it's like, well, I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
But that's more of the kind of answer.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I do, but like, I'm not going to. That's, you know, I mean, let's face it. I'm a coward.
Yeah. I'm too chicken shit to do it myself.
And like, I kind of want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, will I become Grandma Kristen? Or or no?
Or am I going to just die alone in my apartment and sit there for a year on my computer?
Well, I wanted to ask, so did this actress have, like, was she, like, did she kill herself? Like, how did she die?
It was just old age, like, just natural causes, just died alone.
Oh, she was older.
She was older.
I was thinking she was, like, a young actress in Hollywood.
No, she was a young actress in Hollywood, but she ended up aging, right, and just was still in Hollywood and ended up just dying from natural causes. But no one found her for a year.
That is so sad.
It's so sad, but...
I kind of picture she's like, you know, the Betty Davis, what happened to Baby Jane?
Yeah.
Whatever. They just did the show about that on American Horror Story. They like redid that movie. Do you know that movie I'm talking about?
No, but I'm pretending to.
Basically, Betty Davis played, I'm pretty sure it's Betty Davis, and she played, it was when she was older, her and Dave, do you know? Dave's like, I'm not listening.
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know the movie with Betty Davis and the other lady about them being old ladies together?
Oh, sisters? Gosh. I know which movie you're talking about. I just can't remember what
it's called. I think
it's called
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
But that sounds right.
Right, but I'm trying to think of the actress that was with her. It was like, what's her name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But she's this actress who's now like in her 80s, but she's still doing her makeup like she's this beautiful young girl.
Oh, shit. That's me.
And it's like, you know... This is my biggest fear, that I'm going to be like that crazy old lady in Hollywood who thinks she still has a chance.
Fuck, me too. I already feel like that.
That was Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, thank you. Yeah. The two of them together. Anyway, okay, so I have a FDAT.
Okay.
Shit. And it's about Norway and their mental health system. It's very...
Ooh.
It's very different. It's very, like, hippy-dippy and progressive and, like, most of the world would consider, like, wrong.
Okay.
So they basically... allow the mental patients to make all their own decisions.
Wow.
And they more embrace their mental problems rather than try to fight them.
Right.
And so the patients are allowed to have a say in their drug, like if they're going to take drugs, what like the dosage is. They also get to choose their next of kin. So like, so for us, like, your next of kin would be like your parents.
Right.
If I was married, it'd be my husband. They can go in and basically their next of kin, say they are married, they can basically like be like, no, the garbage can is my next of kin.
Oh.
So the people, like, they get to just, it's kind of like the most fun freak show of all time. And their philosophy is more like treat the patient as if the world is crazy, not as if they're crazy.
Okay. I can get down with that.
Yeah. And so there's like, I don't know, I read something that was like, there's a room where, like, they have rooms where you can just go in and like act out your craziness or something.
Oh.
To like embrace it.
Right.
I don't know. The whole thing's really strange. And they consider committing someone to an insane asylum like a human rights violation.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. Because basically they're saying, we don't know who's sane.
Right.
It could be them. Maybe we're the crazy ones.
Right.
But then the whole thing can, like, you let everyone run amok, it can get a little chaotic. But I thought that was really strange and interesting.
That is really strange. I want to check it out.
Yeah. So if you're going to be crazy in Norway.
Yeah. I might have to move to Norway.
Yeah. They're like, Stevie, come here. This whole thing is just to lure you in so they can.
I'm down.
You.
I'll do it.
Cool.
I've never been to Norway. It seems cool.
Yeah. Chill. All those countries are chill like that.
Yeah.
You know, you mean freezing.
Freezing. But don't they have those like natural hot springs there though too, where you can like go in the water and it's in snow, but you're like warm in the water?
That looks so nice.
I think that's Iceland.
Well, probably.
There's probably something like that there.
Something.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm sure their healthcare is free. Is it free?
I'm sure.
So
yeah,
I'll take
so
it.
Who cares? Whatever. Yeah, it's free.
I had a depression impression.
Oh, please.
It's just really short though. I couldn't find too much information about it. Fiona Apple.
Oh, God.
Who is one of my favorites.
Oh, I have a story about her.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's not like crazy, crazy, but a story.
Yeah. She's one of my favorites.
She's my fave.
Her lyrics and just
all of her music.
Connect to so deeply, especially just in my sad times. It's something that speaks to me. Literally, I've never had an artist that I've connected with so deeply on like a depression
level.
Don't
even get me started with her in her lyrics.
Oh my God.
There's the one lyric that she has, you like played with my trigger, then you blame my gun.
Yes.
Oh, I like love that.
Yes.
There's or also you fondled my trigger and then blame my gun.
There's also one where she says like, "I thought he was a man, but he was just a little boy."
Boy.
Yeah.
That's in the paper bag song.
Yeah, the paper bag song. Or she says, "I thought it was a bird, but it was just a paper bag."
Yes.
And it's like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm staring at the sky, just looking for a star to pray on or wish on or something like that. I was having a sweet fix of a daydream of a boy whose reality I knew was a hopeless to be had, but then the downward slope of a slope. And I believe for a moment that.
Oh, great.
Shit. Believe for a moment that. Hopeless to be grand.
And they came down near.
So did a weary tear. I thought he was a bird, but it was just a paper bag. Hunger hurts.
But I want it.
I haven't heard
so
it so long.
Bad. Oh, it kills. Yeah. I saw her live one time.
Same. That's where my story comes from.
It was so intense.
Yes.
That I was having panic attacks. I was having anxiety because she was like, she cries when she sings, and she was like down on the floor, like beating the ground and like singing. And I was like, like it was so emotional. Mm-hmm. It was the most emotional show concert thing I've ever experienced in all my life that I haven't really been into going and watching live music since then because it got me so like worked up. It really triggered me emotionally in a way that I didn't like.
Yeah. How old were you when you saw her?
I was probably like 28.
Oh, you were older.
27, 28.
Wow. Okay. So Jen, who I was, you know, just talked to on the phone, she came with me. It was the most random like pairing. It was me, her, and then this girl, Maida, who I went to high school with, who's from Bosnia. The three of us went, and we were both, I was 17, 18 or something.
Oh, wow.
I'd like just gotten my license. I was a huge Fiona Apple fan in high school. And which means I should have had depression in high school. I should have listening to Fiona Apple. But she did the same thing. So, I mean, I was really young and I didn't really have a lot of experience, like life experience. But so I didn't have as much of a connection to it in the moment.
Right.
But she opened up with one really heavy piano song. I can't remember which one. But she was like playing it and then she messed up.
Oh,
she freaked out. I don't know if Jen would remember this, but she banged and then she like ran to the back of the stage and screamed like literally just like let out
like
a
out
shriek.
Of frustration.
Yeah.
Just like
she was just pissed. And this was in like a big concert hall. Like it was like there were like probably 5,000 people, you know, in this like theater.
Right.
It wasn't like just some small thing or whatever.
Right.
And then she just came back and just went back to like being this like phantom on the piano. Like it was really cool.
It is really cool.
It was
That's
very
a really
intense
good story.
Yeah, but I didn't get like affected emotionally. I was just like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, I really love her. I tried to find more information about her depression, and what you really find is that a really sad story that she was raped when she was 12, and that's what started her depression and anxiety and just weird shit like that. And it's a really sad story, but I couldn't find any more. I found an interview where she talks about being on meds, but she doesn't say what type of meds or for what. So
recently I saw a picture of her maybe a year ago and she was kind of heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she was always known to be like super Skeletor
thin. Yeah.
She was really chubby.
Yeah. When I saw her perform, she was so skinny.
Yeah.
So skinny.
Yeah. But maybe that means she's like healthier or something. But she did have a freak out. I think like that's why I saw pictures of her because she started playing again or something. And I don't know. I just remember that's why I was looking at pictures because there was an issue with her performance.
Oh, interesting.
And again, I don't have the internet, so I can't see what it was.
But I know not that long ago. This was after I saw her. It might have been the same tour. I don't know. But she had canceled a few dates that she was supposed to play because her dog was dying.
Mm.
And she was super sad about it. And she wrote this letter on her website that was like, "I'm really sorry, but I need to spend these last few days with my
Maybe
dog.
It was that, but...
And even though like she smells bad and she's going through all this, I just want it to like even be with her." And, yeah, that's literally what she wrote. She was like, "Her breath smells so bad, but I still want to smell her breath.
Yeah.
Like
I love
it's my last time to be with her." And I was like, fuck, that's so touching.
She's such an emotional person.
She's very emotional.
There's a dude, I forget his name, but he writes a lot of her music, or had written a lot of her music, or co-wrote a lot of her music with her. He plays in Los Angeles all the time at what's it called? Largo.
Yes. She plays there sometimes, or she has played there. Yeah. She's done like little shows, I think surprise shows.
He has like a residency or there or something where he's there all the time. But he's like this one man genius who plays like 5,000 instruments basically at one time.
Uh-huh.
So if anyone in LA can see him. It's really cool. But
that's awesome.
A lot of it you can hear in his music. You're like, oh, that's Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Like,
that
sounds
hear
just
his
like Fiona Apple.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a pep talk. I was feeling really, really bad the other day, and something that helped me, and it's still helping me, and I actually want to get that like tattooed so that I can feel better. I jammed out in the car to Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
That's Life.
Yes.
Because it's basically like we have ups and downs and over and outs.
Yeah.
But I know one thing. This is like the singing show. But I just jammed that over and over, and it just like... It was scary in a way to shut it off because it was like what was keeping me afloat was I just kept replaying it.
Right.
Really loud and was really feeling like inspired by it. And then I'd have to turn it off and I'm like, ooh, now I feel like I'm going to like, it's like you're on a tightrope and when it shuts off, you fall off the tightrope.
Isn't that weird how some songs literally can make you feel like you're holding it together?
Yeah.
Like music is very powerful.
Yeah, so powerful. And so I was like, I need to find a song like this that's not the song so I don't sound like a crazy person listening to just this song over and over and over. But that was helpful, but that wasn't my pep talk. I found this guy, his name's Gordy Bufton, and he was in jail and five psych wards and was like addicted to drugs and blah, blah, blah. Now he's basically a international speaker and family coach. But basically he has six steps to implement into your daily life to just try to improve your life.
Okay.
One is the story you tell yourself. Like, you create your reality, kind
of. Yes. I think when we had someone on here where we were talking about that. We were saying, like, it's the song that you sing to yourself.
Oh, KT.
KT, yes.
Yep. And so it's, like, that's the same kind of thing. But you have to, like, keep it fresh in your brain that you're creating your story.
Right.
Not anyone else and all that kind of jazz. Number two, which I don't, like, love because we're both isolated or I don't love having... someone in my life all the time, which is what I want them. But he's saying seek out a mentor to keep you on track.
Okay.
And then a good basically it just says they'll help you see things from a fresh perspective when you're feeling. So just have someone on call or something.
I actually have that. I have my ex on call.
You do?
The one
that's nice.
That I was with for 4 years. He's so supportive and he's so smart and like now he's so supportive and
great. of course.
But I do that whenever I'm like feeling really, really bad. I call him and I'm like, yo, I'm feeling really, really bad. And he'll be like, blah, 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 blah. It's just this or that.
That's great. It's so hard to, like, if someone calls me and I'm feeling bad, I can't answer. It almost feels like lifting up the phone is lifting up a 1,000-pound weight.
Yes, I know what you mean.
The other day when I was feeling down before I started listening to the Frank Sinatra stuff, my sister called and I hadn't talked to her in a couple weeks and like I was like, oh, I just don't want to answer. Just not because I don't want to talk to my sister, but because it's so hard.
That's my birthday is coming up and I'm fucking stressing.
When is your birthday?
When? But I'm just stressing so hard about
June
people calling me.
7th.
Tomorrow.
Your birthday's tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Oh, June 2nd.
But I'm so stressed about like people calling me. Like I know my grandma's going to call me and my cousins. And I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like but I don't want them to think that I'm not grateful for them calling me. I appreciate that. But I'm in such a weird place right now that I don't want to deal with anyone.
Right. Do you have plans? Birthdays are rough, but like
fuck no. Well, I have plans for the weekend. I'm gonna go to a Dodgers game. I want to just drink some beer and chill out. But
that's not bad.
But I'm so exhausted with the TMS treatment that I don't want to do anything. Like I don't want to party. I don't want to like go crazy. I don't want to like do a dinner. I'm into chilling and sleeping right now.
That's a hard time to have a birthday.
It's I just don't like birthdays. They're depressing as well.
Another thing that he says is to write things down, to just like get stuff out of your brain, just to flush everything out of your brain and have a journal.
That makes sense. That was something that I read about sleeping better is that if you can write down the stuff that's bothering you and get it out of your system, it's not going to keep bothering you.
Yeah, you won't ruminate on it as much. I guess people say like if you write stuff down, you actually get it out of your brain. But I feel like it makes it more current in your brain.
Yeah.
But maybe it does get it out. I don't know. It just your brain isn't like it's not like a your thoughts aren't tangible. You can't like take them out and throw them out.
It's also, you know what I mean? It also depends, like, if you write a lot as a person, like I'm always writing. So for me to like write out my feelings doesn't feel that therapeutic because I write so much anyways. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like
right, people say it's helpful. I just, that's the thing, there's work to it. So I'm like, meh, I don't feel like doing it. Just sit there and actually write stuff down.
Takes work.
Another thing he says to do is just to make micro shifts in your everyday life. So very small little baby step changes. So it's like, for me, not taking a nap. Like that'd be like one thing
baby
I can
step.
Do a day to make a micro shift, or it is a micro shift. And then he highly recommends meditation, which again,
I
work.
Can't do.
I hate meditating.
Me too.
I get more anxious when I meditate.
Me too. I really like get in my head when I meditate and start freaking the fuck out.
And all I can think about is like the thought that I'm having, and then I think to try to not to have that. And then the more I think to not have that, the more I have that thought.
Yeah, and then I'm stressing over whether I'm relaxed or not.
Yes.
Like I'm like, okay, am I relaxed
enough?
Or not? Yep. And I need to be super relaxed right now, just chill.
Right.
Just chill.
Well, that's what you said about massages. Like,
yeah.
I need to really enjoy this experience, and I only have 15 minutes left. I think like that, too.
Yeah.
But those, I think, are, like, decent suggestions. I'm trying to be a little helpful here.
Super helpful.
I won't do any of them, but you guys can totally do them.
I'll try. I try.
Good.
Anyways.
Well, I think this is it.
I guess that's it. That's it. That's all that we've got
for
today. Oh,
and I did just want to say, this is what I wanted to actually say at the beginning of the show. I got us locked out of our Instagram page.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like such an idiot.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because basically Instagram's like, well, sorry, because I signed up with a wrong email address.
Right.
And then I never went back and changed it and then got locked out. And so the passcode is being sent to that email address that doesn't exist. And I tried to make it because I thought maybe I wrote this out as the email address, and apparently that's not it because the emails aren't going there. So we are locked out of our Instagram page, but we're gonna start one.
We'll start a new one.
Mentally Chill Pod rather than Mentally Chill Podcast.
Okay.
And we'll start posting there.
Let's do
it. But it just sucks. Now we had like 97 followers.
I know. Now we got to start from the bottom.
I know. So I'll just post about it on my Instagram.
Maybe all the guys that want to have babies with you will get on there and start following you.
Hey!
I just wanted to bring that up from the beginning
of the
show.
Dave's like, I'd have a baby with you.
Because here's the thing. You brought this up, and both of you, like, you're living in this echo chamber right now. Like, there are plenty of guys that want to have babies with you right now. Probably
but not in L.A. They're not in L.A.
Guaranteed they are. Now,
Dave's like, I am one of them.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to impregnate you.
Let's
don't tempt me with a good time.
Well, I'm not going to say that because it's going to make all the shows really awkward.
They're already awkward.
Oh, yeah. But no, I'm just saying that, like, first off, you don't need to worry about that. You're definitely both. You're going to. It's going to happen at some point, or it won't. And that's cool,
thanks.
Too.
It'll work out the way it's meant to work out.
Because, yeah. So, like, what's the worst thing? If a baby comes, it will change your life, and it'll be great. And if not, you'll be still at the helm and not following a baby around. So, one way or the other, this is going to work out.
One way and other things will suck.
Yeah. Just
whether it's with the baby or not.
I've tried to give advice, pep talk. Now I'm like, things are going to suck forever.
But they won't.
Yeah, but they
that's
will.
The pep talk. They can't suck forever.
Yeah.
For a limited time.
That's right. This sucking is for a limited time only. So
limited edition.
Get it now, right, exactly.
Limited edition sucking.
Yep. I love that.
You guys are awesome.
It's a collectible. You're awesome. Yeah. Thanks for doing our show, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dave.
And thanks
You're very well.
And thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for your ratings, and thanks for your hateful messages. They brighten up my day.
Really helpful to depress people, sending messages.
Yeah. But we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.